Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We're in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. This is God's word. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Rich and poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. In the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. He who sows wickedness reaps trouble, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. The eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge, but he frustrates the words of the unfaithful. The sluggard says, "There is a lion outside," or, "I will be murdered in the streets." The mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. He who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and he who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. Pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise. Apply your heart to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have all of them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you. Have I not written 30 sayings for you, sayings of counsel and knowledge, teaching you true and reliable words so that you can give sound answers to him who sent you? Do not exploit the poor because they are poor, and do not crush the needy in court, for the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge or puts up security for debts. If you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your forefathers. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Lots of different themes in the midst of this, but one thing that I want you to see overriding all of it. It is the basis of wisdom. It is the basis of all these different areas of application of wisdom. And that is in verse 19. I'm teaching you these things, why? Here's the explanation. So that your trust may be in the Lord. So that your trust may be in the Lord. The purpose of this instruction, the basis of it, the goal of it, it's all about this, that your trust may be in the Lord. Because if your trust is in the Lord, it's going to affect every area of your life. It's going to affect your finances, your marriage, your child rearing, your work ethic. Everything you do grows out of whether or not your trust is in the Lord. Now let's look at these verses together. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Let me tell you what that does not mean. Live your life all about appearances, trying to make sure everyone thinks well of you. That's not what that's talking about. You live that way, that's living according to the fear of man. That is not a good way to live. What does it mean? It means you live a life of integrity and righteousness, and that is worth more than any amount of material wealth that you could accumulate. When it says a good name is more desirable than great riches, and to be esteemed is better than silver or gold, it's saying material things do not matter as much as character, as much as the reputation you leave behind. Verse 2, rich and poor have this in common, the Lord is the maker of them all. What that is saying is not that God makes some people poor. That's a whole other subject. What this is saying is that whether a person is rich or whether a person is poor, God is the one who made that person. And therefore, you're to treat that person's life as something that is valuable. Don't say, well, that person's worth a lot. Well, that person's not worth much. No. The amount of money they have doesn't determine their worth. God is the one who has made all of us, and therefore we all must treat one another with respect. Every life has value and meaning. Verse 3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Are we supposed to live in fear? No. Are we supposed to live in faith? Yes. Well, if I'm living a life of faith, doesn't that mean that I can go out in the midst of an electrical storm holding up a metal rod? No. I'm supposed to trust God, but I'm not supposed to be an idiot. Now, if God tells me, I want you to go outside and show everybody what a lightning bolt can do to a man. Oh, are you sure that's what you want, Lord? I need to be prepared to obey God fearlessly no matter what. But God has given me a brain, so I wear a seatbelt and I thank God for airbags. Does that make sense? I'm not afraid to get in my car and drive because what if there's a wreck? I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to die. But I don't want to be stupid. It is good when you see danger to take warning and respond accordingly. I don't think I'll ever forget having dinner with several people at a table we'd not met before. And one of the couples, as we started talking, just out of the overflow of their heart, told us about something that had happened that the dad said he just can't get out of his mind. He took his son boating on the lake, and a storm came up. And his son said, Dad, we need to go back. And his dad said, no, let's just stay out a while longer. And his son was struck by lightning and killed. And he said, if I'd gone back when he said, we would have been on shore when that storm hit. But he said, I thought we'd have some fun together. Prudent person sees the danger and acts accordingly. You don't have to live in constant dread and fear and, oh no, what if there's an electrical storm? But folks, don't be foolish. Don't think that because you're you, you're immune. Be prudent. Be wise. A prudent person sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Did you hear that? And suffer for it. There are consequences to foolish behavior. Don't go that road. Verse 4, humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. How many of you would like wealth, honor, and life? Sound good? Okay. Well, here's a path. Humility and the fear of the Lord. So Pastor Wood, are you saying that we will all be materially wealthy if we just fear the Lord and are humble? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if I plant corn, I can expect to get corn. I'm not guaranteed that there won't be weevils or hail or any number of things that could affect my crop. But I know that if I plant corn, I'm not going to get potatoes. And so humility and the fear of the Lord, what that tends to produce in a person's life is wealth and honor and life. That brings good stuff. So what do I need to do? Pursue humility and the fear of the Lord. And those two go together. If you know who God is and what God is like, tends to make you humble because you realize I am very small, I can do nothing apart from him, and I have messed up more times than I can count. Verse 5, in the paths of the wicked lie thorns and snares, but he who guards his soul stays far from them. What is that saying? It's saying in the path of the wicked, there are all kinds of snares, all kinds of things to mess you up. If you value your own life, if you guard your soul, you will stay far away from the paths of the wicked. Don't flirt with sin. Don't mess with stuff that you know is wrong. Stay away from it. He who guards his soul stays far from them. Verse 6, train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. That is a wonderful, comforting promise from God. But not everybody applies that verse properly. If you train up a child in the way he should go, that's the way he'll continue. Will there sometimes be deviations and yeah, that happens sometimes. But the overall course and direction will be in the direction he was trained to go. So are parents completely responsible for their children's mess-ups? Their mothers are. No, I'm kidding. Not true, not true. Guess who's responsible for a kid's mess-ups? The kid. But parents are responsible for the kind of training that they give. And unfortunately, sometimes parents don't give a lot of training. They might give instruction, but training involves more than just words. It involves enforcing boundaries because you love the child. And when we fail to do that, I've had to apologize to my children before for having failed to be strict enough and really rein them in and hold the line. If you start with them when they're young, you can increasingly relax the boundaries as they get older. It is really hard to be letting them run around, you know, well, you know, he's just four. You know, he's just four. Honey, honey, put down that blowtorch. Oh. Do you think you're going to rein him in when he gets older? That's not the way it works. You start out strict and you relax more and more as they get older. I hope everybody gets that. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. This is a fact This is descriptive. Would you rather be the servant to the lender? You put yourself in a position of subordination when you borrow. Don't do that. Don't borrow. Don't put yourself in the position of being somebody else's servant unnecessarily. Be the Lord's servant. Wait on Him. Trust in Him. The borrower is servant to the lender. Verse 9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. You never outgive God. And as we saw before, he who gives to the poor lends to the Lord.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Verse 10. Drive out the mocker and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. Sometimes there is an individual in a group who is constantly stirring things up. They're the mocker. And out of their presence, you get all kinds of strife. And this proverb accurately describes the fact that when that person is removed from the mix, whoosh, it's peace. Folks, don't be that person. Do not be the person who creates problems everywhere you go. Verse 11, he who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Is that a contrast to the one who stirs up strife and quarrels and insults? He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Verse 13, the sluggard says, there's a lion outside or I'll be murdered in the streets. What does that mean? It means a lazy person constantly makes outlandish excuses for why they can't do what they're supposed to do. There's a lion in the streets. Is this really because there's a lion in the streets? No, it's because I don't want to go outside. Okay? A lazy person comes up with excuses. That's what verse 13 could be paraphrased to say. Verse 14, the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. He who is under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. This is a recurring theme in Solomon. What he's saying is, sexual sin is a disastrous trap. The person who falls into that is under the wrath of God. You don't want the wrath of God. Okay? Say, well, I realize it could jeopardize my career. It could jeopardize my marriage. It can jeopardize your forever. Adultery is not just a part of life. Adultery is a sin. And so when we're warned that the person who falls into it is under the Lord's wrath, we need to take that very seriously. He who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth and he who gives gifts to the rich both come to poverty. If you exploit the poor in order to increase your wealth, you will end up being poor. God will see to it. That's the promise. Furthermore, if in order to try and gain advantage for yourself, you give gifts to people who are already rich, you will end up being poor. God will see to it because it is a misuse of resources that God has entrusted to you. Now, beginning in verse 17, you've got a collection, a special collection of sayings. And it begins in verse 17 by saying, pay attention to these things. But look at verse 19 again. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I teach you today, even you. The goal of this teaching is so that you may trust in the Lord. That is what it's all about. Verse 24. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Don't associate with one who is easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. This not only says you're not supposed to make friends with a person like that, but it says you're in danger if you associate with one who is easily angered. You may get yourself ensnared. I would just like to offer, especially for our young men, you need to be careful what kind of video fantasies you're involved in. Because if you're sitting there imagining yourself blowing everybody's head off, that is not a good fantasy. That is planting the wrong stuff in your head. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Do not be a man who strikes hands in pledge, verse 26, or puts up security for debts. Why? Because if you lack the means to pay, your very bed will be snatched from under you. Well, no, I have the means to pay. Well, then pay it. Don't be putting up security for debts. Because this person asks you to cover this, and well, yeah, I think I could do that. And this person asks you to, and pretty soon, you've got a bunch of debt with your name on it. But folks, you can't give what you don't have. And verse 29 is one that every single one of you needs to memorize. So let's say it together. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. For thousands of years, people who are good at what they do have been rare. There are lots of mechanics. There aren't a lot of really good mechanics. There are lots of cooks, but there aren't really that many great cooks. Most people are not really all that good at what they do. And if you are good at what you do, you tend to get promoted until you finally get into a position you're not very good at. And then you get stuck there. It's a bad plan, but it's the way it tends to work. And it has for thousands of years. But I'll tell you something. If you and I don't do our best at whatever we're called to do, whatever God gives us the opportunity to do, we're not honoring Him. Whatever your job is, give it your best. But along the way, you may find that there's something God has gifted you to do that really you shine. That's where you're strong. That's when you're at your best. And when you find that, begin to prayerfully cultivate that gift. Begin to really work on that job. And ask God to help you do it for His glory. Do you see a man who's skilled in his work? It's a rare thing. That person will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Do you want to be an exception? Be skilled in your work. Be skilled in your work. You'll stand out. And that is much better because you can give that as praise to God.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.